Today is the beginning of an awesome journey. We eventually got there, Hein. I remember speaking to you ages about it. We are going to be speaking into foundations. Okay? And this has come about for months and things that we've been preaching and talking and just brewing in my heart. And we're going to be starting talking through biblical foundations, talking through foundations of your faith. And there's a reason why we're doing this. If I sat with a group of pastors here in Muizenberg, we meet once a month, and we go, there was probably about 10 of us in the room sitting on Wednesday morning, and every one of them are, things are just tough. Things are difficult. Things are challenging. And you can't pinpoint like what it is. It's just tough. It's like, yes, there are circumstances, there are things happening. And I know, we sat in our elders meeting and we talk about you people. And names come up in the elders meetings. And we make notes next to your names. Long extended notes that we are looking and seeing. And then we pray for you. No, we are aware that the pressure's on. We are aware that the Christian faith, we are aware the way the world is going now. If you don't have a foundation in your life, you will falter and wobble and fall over. And the strength of standing on the things of God is that in the times we live, I mean, I shared in context and other kind of things, the number of things I've heard just in the last few months of churches around in our area where it has faltered because of faulty styles of leadership. This autocratic way, my way or the highway stuff, the Lord's exposing it. He's like, I'm not, that's not the church I chose to build. Husband and wife in ministry that are in competition with each other and it all falls flat because their desire is to be known, not to be known by the one. And those things, it's all collapsing. And I was sitting with a guy last Saturday evening at this Trigger conference and he was going, talking about the church he's in and it's splitting now because the pastor lied to people. I said, bro, and this is something Farnes always has said, if it needs to fall, it must fall. Let it collapse right down. And what's left, what is strong, will remain standing. And so let it fall, bro. Let the thing fall apart. Because that's what has to happen. It's shaking and you can't look after something that's, No, let it fall down because it's already broken. And so we're going to talk into this understanding of building into your life. And we're going to go for the next quite a few weeks in this, talking over, and there are going to be different voices speaking into this. So you build into your hearts and lives because it's not 1990 anymore. It's a different age and time we live in. And the strength of your faith is going to be the thing that's going to sustain you. I heard someone tell me that day, all this stuff that's coming out with aliens and all these files that are being released to show us, I truly don't believe that the alien work is demonic. Amen. Okay, it's demonic work. And someone said, what they're going to try and convince people is that the aliens actually created you. Yes. And they created you and then people will start believing. That's where it came from. You see, everything's going to test your faith. And there's only one word that is true. The word of God. Amen. And when you base your life upon that, all the other nonsense that you discern and hear and around that you're like, no, that's too flimsy. It might sound convincing because the enemy's a shrewd operator. He will make things sound, wow, that is crazy. That's unbelievable. That might not be true. That's why I preached a couple of weeks ago. Do you know him? Do you know him? Because that's going to be your strength. To be able to stand, because you're going to be tempted. You're going to be, there's temptation for disillusionment, temptation for conspiracy, temptation for all sorts of things. But you stand firm on the truth, on the word of God. And the word is Jesus. Amen. And you get to know him. You will not falter in your faith. There's a line from Peter there, and that Peter writes about, you know, you build these things into your life, it says that you will never falter. You will never stumble. Have you ever thought about a Christian faith like that? That you will never stumble? Because you know him, and you know the word, the foundation of that. You know, now, close to our house, there's the Flay, and across the road from that Briar area there, they, in the last few years, created like a wetland, because it was always flooding, there was the rain, the water, created a wetland, and then they built a path, a brick path along the way, which is nice that you can walk along it. I've ridden there, I've walked and done all along there, but I noticed the other day, There was a team of people between the bricks taking spades and breaking all the grass off the path because the grass had overtaken the path. And so they're knocking all the grass off and trying to make, and now it all looks nice and clean again. What's going to happen in 6 months or a year's time? The grass is going to just fully cover the path again, and there they will be with their spades. And the thing that came to me, the foundation's wrong here. If you haven't laid your paving with a covering sand and you put the paper down or that plastic lining so things can't grow through, the paving can stay, but you have things coming through all the time. That's how we live our lives. Your foundation must be firm, that you don't have all these other distractions, things coming and overtaking. You constantly got to, here's the Christian thing, I break those chains, I break those chains. Bound by them, constantly cleaning the grass off. Okay, foundations will set you right. Watch, like next summer, there they're going to be with their spades, hooking the grass away. I'm like, yokes, we'll never learn. But no one's going to take the time to undo it. Godfrey, there's a job for you. Undo it. Lay it down properly, and then build upon it. And this is where we are. We're talking about our spiritual lives, our spiritual walks, the foundations with the things of God. Preach it, but yeah. Who knows what that sign means? You've seen that sign around, right? Okay, and it means? The 90s, it came out. But what does it represent? It represents Christianity. You know, I've got a lack of story with this. You know, we had it on the back of our car in the 80s. This came to the fore in the 80s again. We had a fish on the back of our car. And we were Christians. So one day we're driving. I'm like 10, 11 years old. And we're driving on the road. And we see another car with a fish on. And we're like, Dad, there's a car with a fish on. He must be another Christian. My dad's hooting. Bada. We're waving at the circle. And come on, getting his attention. We're like brothers, bro. We're like in this together. He looked at us and then gave us the middle finger of fellowship. And then we realized he's not a brother. And I don't think he realized what the fish in the back of his car meant. It was his wife's car. Yeah. Or he had bought the car and he didn't take the fish off. And then we started seeing sharks on the back of the cars. Like, ooh, these are the Satanists. No, they were just the shark supporters up in KZN putting sharks in the back of their car. This is actually a very powerful symbol of Christianity that came back in the 70s and the 80s. But it's actually rooted in a Greek word. Anyone that could pronounce that, ichthys, it's a Greek word, okay? And to spell it in Greek, those are the Greek letters, okay, that are used, and I wouldn't even know how to say that, but it's pronounced in that kind of word there. And this symbol was used in the first and second century when Christianity was actually under threat, and you had to be very careful who your friends were. And this was a symbol and a sign representing, like, you and me are in the same family, right? We're togetherness. And what the people, they would say what would happen is that you were walking, you're with someone, or you were going somewhere and you met someone, you would draw half the arc in the dust, and the person would draw the other half, and then you knew that you both knew you were good. So we stood together in this. If that person didn't draw the other half, you just carried on, yeah, I'm just, you know, doodling in the sand, yeah. Okay, but it meant something, and it represented Christianity. You see, what Christianity today, we all take the cross. The cross represents, oh, Christ, the death and resurrection. But in those times, the first and second century, the cross was never going to be something that they were going to liken to their Christianity, because the Romans were still killing people on the cross. It was a cruel, gruesome way to die. This represented, and it was a symbol and a sign of Christianity. If you take the first of those, each of those Greek letters, you see the first letter of each, that's a sentence that it made. It was all encrypted in the way they spoke and how they said. And the sentence meant this, Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. And they had an understanding that they knew who each other were. And they stood out in a crowd, knowing, finding who each other were, that backed and understood they were part of Christianity. Okay, and it was an identity that set people apart. Okay. Beautiful story. It came back in the 70s and we see that. It's not really a thing much anymore and stuff. Okay. Can you see the text on the screen? Okay, what does it say? I promise you there's text there.
It's in yellow.
No, you would see yellow because it's a white background. I said to my mechanic the other day, there's something with a car, I've known him for 25 years. And he said, yeah, but pastors never lie, eh? I said, no. And then Kathleen's like, yeah, there are some pastors that do lie. And carry on. I said, bro, whether you believe me or not. He said, I know I trusted you for 25 years. I know you don't lie to me, but I'm not lying to you. There is text there. Okay? Okay, let's maybe change the background. Then you can see. Okay, we make the background back, but there's still text there. I promise you there's text there. Why? Well, you can't see it. Why? Why can't you see the text? Okay, what? Because the text is the same color as the background. But it is there. He has a clue what's there. Okay, that's on the text. A bar one to anyone who guesses what the line says.
Lots of bar ones today.
Lots of bar ones I'm giving away. Okay? Okay? So why can't you see the text there? Because it's the same color as the background. So now, if your life standing for Christ and we want to be symbolized and known as a people of God, a believer cannot blend into the world and look the same. Because you're never going to stand out. Okay, we are a peculiar, set apart people. Amen. We don't do things, we don't think the way the world does. We live according to another value system and the rooting of the word and the kingdom of God. So when we just mold in, people aren't going to know the difference. But then when the background is one color and the text is another, it actually sticks out. That's why you can read on any book, on anything, because there's a foundation that's actually giving something the opportunity to actually see it. Because if you have a foundation in your life, you can with boldness and courage say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Amen. But it is the power of God unto salvation. Okay? No ball ones. No one's guessed what the line is. It's like that game, like Hangman. You're playing. When you see it, you go like, oh, man, it was there the whole time. Boom. There it is. Yeah, you see, you didn't saw that. No, it was high grade. That's high level. Okay, and then I change the background and I change the font. It still sticks out. Okay? We can't just mold into the world like Bart Simpson or what's his name? He's Homer, his father, that all that meme, he disappears into the bush. I'm not here, you won't see me. We're a peculiar people, set apart. Okay, this is not about getting it perfect and right and not being, no, it's about knowing the grace of God. But knowing we believe on a different value system we live by, that you understand by. Recently, I read in an article by a guy called Ron Kantor, who's a pastor in Israel, Israeli man from America, fantastic guy. He's got some brilliant stuff out there. And he's writing an article about why so many people's positions on Israel has changed in the last kind of 3 years, 4 years. And what's played out, and people's positions. And he writes this in the line which is foundational to what we are talking about. And he's explaining about this whole thing. And then he says this, and that is exactly why you need to be careful. He says, you do not build your theology, okay, meaning your understanding of God's character and faithfulness on current events. You don't build the faithfulness and the goodness and who God is and his faithfulness to you on current events that are playing around the world. You bring your theology to current events as the lens through which you interpret them. If you change your theology every time history delivers a difficult chapter, you do not have a theology. He says you have a mood. And that's exactly what people are doing. Oh, well, look at what's playing out. Look at the world. Look what's happening here. Well, that can't be right then. But what does the Bible say? What does God say? You can't base your theology on what's happening around you. Then you mean you don't have a solid foundation. What you're building is a mood, is a thought, is a, well, I don't know, it must be, I don't know. And some news reader tells you a story and you believe them. What does the Word of God say? How your foundation to build your life upon that. In Ephesians 4, 11 to 16 says this, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, the shepherds and teachers, to equip the saints for works of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That you can say about your life, it's the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ that is in me. Why do we need a strong theology? Why do we need a strong foundation? Just think about our world today, how this happens. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes.
Yes.
Your faith is going to be tested. We are living in times where the love of many will grow cold. And people will walk away from the faith. I've been in the church, honestly, nearly my whole life. Actually, my whole life. And I can probably count 200-300 plus people that I know, if I go through a list, no, divorced, not begun, fallen, died, da-da-da-da-da. Over and over again, people have walked away from the truth. Because there's a cunning, deceitful enemy that will lure you away from the foundation of truth, but you need to know that foundation and that truth. He has a brilliant hymn. Sorry, it's a bit smaller, the text here. But this was written by Edward Mote in 1834. That is 8 years away from being 200 years ago. Okay, that's a long time. These words are still as relevant today as they were 200 years ago, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, meaning your own body, your own self, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face. That's a good line. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Dressed in his righteousness alone, faith faultless to stand before the throne. What beautiful words. I mean, Delirious started, redid the song about 20 years ago, and then Hillsong redid those verses. They don't sing the exact same chorus, but it's a beautiful, powerful song. See, these words are still true today, written 200 years ago. Because believers in Christ, your foundation is set upon him and set upon who the Lord is. So over the next while, couple of weeks, we are going to look at things. There are going to be some key verses that are going to be foundational to how we go on a journey together as a people to build into your life. The one verse is Hebrews 6:1-2, which we'll draw a lot from this passage because there's a lot in these. It says, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine. What is elementary school? It's for little children. It's for kids that are still learning to read and write, or even can't read and write. Okay, so you now in your faith, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ. Meaning not forsake it, build upon it. And go on to maturity. Not laying again a foundation of, and I listen to all the things here, repentance from dead works and faith towards God and of instructions about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. That foundational stuff you need to build into your life. So that you don't keep going back to have to put this foundation in place. Okay, so let's break that down. Those seven things that it speaks about, and we can call them foundation stones in your life. The first thing, Christ, the cornerstone. We've done the measuring line, the plumb line here. If you don't have the cornerstone set in place correctly, and the plumb line dropping down so that you can build that wall straight, and the measuring line so that you can also build it straight up that direction, you're going to falter in your building. You need the cornerstone of Christ. Okay? Repentance from dead works, meaning dealing with your past. Not going over the same cycle over and over and over and over and over again. Repentance from dead works, because then we try hard to please God in works. faith in God, living in faith, living by faith. Not faith in faith and blab it to grab it and name it and claim it. Yes. But you actually have faith in the one who can truly pour out and give and stir your heart to believe in him. Okay? Baptisms, being immersed with Christ, fully submerged as we do baptisms of water, baptisms in the Holy Spirit, baptism into Christ, that you are immersed in Jesus. Okay? The laying on of hands. And you can turn that applying heaven's power to your heart and life. Resurrection from the dead. What happens when I die? Okay? And eternal judgment. Da-da-da. No, no, it's all good. It's all good. In Christ, immersed in him, there's going to be a reward for you. There's going to be a reward for you for what you've done for the King on this earth. Speaking about rewards, I was talking to Pankaj. Remember Pankaj, who preached here in May? And, you know, all the challenges we're facing. He's trying to run a restaurant there and they can't get LPG. Is it LPG gas? Because of all the chaos in the Straits of Hormuz and he can't get the rest. It's just challenging, challenging. And we were talking on these lines and saying, bro, we know whatever we face, whatever we walk through, you know, our rewards in heaven. Our rewards in heaven. It can be hard and tough, yeah. But then I was like, but I get that. Our rewards, but it will help if there's a little bit of help here now on this earth. But then I said, like, heaven is going to have to be amazing. It will be. But we pay the price here for a reward one day that you will stand before him. Because heaven's going to be worth it. Because this little moment here on this earth, all that you walk through, it's going to be worth it. Those are the foundations. The next verse is Matthew 7. We all know this one. You know that whole, don't build your house on the sandy land. Don't build it too near the shore. We could have done that song this morning. Wow. Thanks, Wendy. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell. How's that last line? And great was the fall of it. There's been many have built foundations on their own stuff. And we are seeing in the church the great fall of it. Because it's not built upon Christ, it's built upon an agenda. What I can get out of this. The key things in this verse, you see, is saying those who listen and obey. There's listen and obey again. Listen to his words and obey them. Apply them to your life and you built upon the rock. My grandfather always used to call people a fool. He's such a fool. Don't be a fool. And do it your own way. Okay? So when the rains fall, meaning the challenges, the trials, the temptations of life come at you. Okay? The floods come, meaning the pressure's rising. Okay? The feeling of being overwhelmed rises. It's pressing in on you. All these things are happening. The winds are blowing and beating against your house, meaning there's this constant noise. We all know the southeaster. It's like it's an harassment of a wind. It's barraging against this opposition. And it fell, okay, not because of the rain, not because of the floods, but because of what it was built upon. The first part says exactly the same stuff. The rain fell, the floods, but it didn't fall over because it was built on the rock. We're all facing stuff right now, trials, temptations, things pushing in on us. Built upon the rock, you will stand in the midst of the storm. Because the rain and the flood and the wind is going to come and is here. How we stand in him. And great was the fall. Wow. Another verse. For no one can lay, 1 Corinthians 3:11-15, no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation, okay, now we're building our lives. What are we going to build with? Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. See, the material gets kind of less and less kind of durable and strong through fire. But that's how you're going to build. Each one's work will become manifest for the day, the end time, the day you will stand before him will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. And if the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. And if anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as if through fire. Wow, that's such a verse, eh? See, our lives are built on Christ, the solid rock. On Christ, the solid rock, we will stand. Okay, we build our lives on this foundation. What we build and what we build upon that will be the evidence of what we've done for the kingdom of God and what we've done in serving others. And we'll be rewarded on that day, but tested as if through fire. Now, I'm pretty going to wrap it up now. I know the kids have been in stuff as well. And I just want to say over us as we finish, these verses are going to be key what we're going to build upon, and we're going to go on a journey over the next while. I want to say, we see, we hear, and we know what you're walking through. Us as an eldership, don't stand high and lofty above all the troubles of the world and look down on our subjects and, oh, sorry, you know, is there something you want? No, we know what it's like, folks. We know what people are facing sitting here. It's challenging. These are tough times. You know, Berenice, thank you for what you said here, just saying, pray for my sons. You know, so just now the context, what you're facing and what you're walking through in your house, it's challenging, right? But you have a foundation of Christ in your life that can permeate to others around you. You can save no one, you just be a witness to some people. And believe and trust in him. But I also want to say, we see, guys. We know what you're facing. The challenges in marriages, the challenges financially, the challenges with health, the challenges with relationships. We get it. But don't stop coming. Don't stop pressing into the things of God. Don't give up on this foundation that is laid upon your life that you just keep building. Because the reality is, you're not going to see the fullness of what you've done for Christ here on earth. You will see a reward of it in heaven. But there's a tenacity to keep believing, to keep trusting, and to keep going. And you say, we see. And the verse that came to me, I mean, Psalm 51, where David's now messed up with Bathsheba. And Nathan comes to him and says, no, but you're that guy. And he says this line in verse 12 of Psalm 51. It says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. And uphold me with a willing spirit. You see, when things are tough and trials and temptations and difficulties come, you wane in this desire like, oh God, look, this is so hard. I pray that he restores unto you that joy inside your heart of what it is to truly live for him. I think I've got the verse here. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Not my salvation that I worked hard for and got. He gave it to you as a gift. But that he restores something in you, that you actually are stirred in hope and faith to choose a life that is holy and pure before him. Amen. Darren, has it been easy, your journey? It's been easy, right? Just get over all the stuff, your testament. It's been a cakewalk, you know? You don't know why? No, but we know. It's been hard, right? But I bless you, you've not given up. You just kept going. And as you keep building, keep believing, keep trusting, you get stronger and stronger. Doesn't say it gets easier and easier, but your perspectives and who you are in Christ starts building inside of you. Realize more and more, I actually can overcome. I can break through this. That's why your testimony this afternoon is going to speak to people. And they're going to look at, but that's my life. But he looks free. Yes, you can be free. But don't stop believing. There's a song there. 80s. Don't stop believing. Just hold on to the truth, and that's the foundation that'll hold you. It'll hold you in place. And that foundation doesn't come from a 2-minute prayer, just a quick glance at the word. I've done what I needed to this morning. Okay, that's feel good. No, it's knowing him. It's not about spending hours and hours and hours and hours and more time. It's just every day, everywhere you walk, you're in communion with him.
Yes. You're living and walking with Him all the time. Amen. And He builds into you, and you hear His whispers of truth into your heart. You're like, oh, no, that's the truth. You read something. You devotionally take the Bible and you build it into your life and your heart. The times we're living in, and I know I sound harsh this, but coming to Sunday and sit here for 2 hours is not enough.
Exactly.
The church, when the restoration of the church in the 60s and the 70s, and there was a bit of life, people used to come, sit, listen to the sermon, then go home and carry on with their lives. But there's a different call now because the kingdom has become real. Where you go now, you are kingdom light. You are kingdom truth. It's not rather Bible bashing, but you just have a way. That you stand out. You don't mold in with the crowd. I don't believe that. I'm not going to argue, but I just don't believe that. No, we stand on that. And you hold on to truth. And that the joy arises inside of you on this foundation that you live. You see, these are areas in the life of the church that we're going to kind of, last 2 weeks ago, we looked at Alpha and the testimonies that came out of Alpha. Because people gave time and effort and it required a sacrifice, but look what God did in their lives. Look how we built into them. It doesn't come just by sitting back and hoping it happens. You have to apply yourself. Okay? Any of your kids studying for exams? You don't just get to know the work, eh? Lady brother? Did you get to know your work? You studied hard? Exactly, you did. You put the effort in, but then you knew. If you don't study, you don't know it. You don't just learn it by osmosis. Oh, I get it. Yes, the spirit inside of you is activated, and your spirit bears with his spirit. Yes, that's it. And it's a revelation of truth, and you build your life, and you build brick by brick, and you do that for 40 years. For 50 years, you will be unwavering. You will not stumble in your faith. I guarantee you. You'll have tough times, but you will not falter. Amen. You will stand truth on the word. These areas, V and an Alpha course, she's on her way to PE right now and stuff, but we've seen the evidence, the time and effort. Every second Saturday, Uche and Ada and their team lead the discipleship course. If you want to build into your life and you want to build an understanding of your faith, you've got to commit to stuff. Okay? The Bay Bible School, every Monday night they're here. We handed out these certificates, the effort and energy it takes to study, to read, and to apply yourself, but it builds into you. Don't let money distract you. I can't afford the Bible school, can't do it, I don't have time, that kind of stuff. Stop the excuses. Just commit and say, let me try and see if this works out. And you'll be amazed how much it does work out. Okay? Exchanged life, exchanged life. Which is it?
Exchanged.
There's an argument over that. But you're going to exchange your life. But I've exchanged my life. We're not going to argue that. We'll take a vote. Church is a democracy. Let's take a vote. Okay, I'm just commending Marcy. Tirelessly gives time. You know why she gives time? Nearly every Saturday she's here doing the exchange life, doing the orientation classes, doing Bible school on Mondays. Because she knows if you get this and you get these truths into your heart and life, you will stand firm on the things of God. That's a true leader. Will give you time and effort and energy. And there's Kingdom Tree with John. That we're going to see her testimonies from folk. It takes time and energy and effort, but there's a maturing that comes when you just sit in the contemplative prayer and you hear his voice speak to you. And you allow the word to minister to you and to build strength into your heart and into your life. See, that's all here. It's all positioned and placed for you to be able to build into your heart and life. And we're going to hear through these over the next weeks, different testimonies, different people speaking about stuff. And I want to pray for us as we go from here this morning that the joy of his salvation would arise in your heart this morning. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're walking through. I read something on Saturday morning, I think it was yesterday morning, about how we so stuck in this paradigm of looking from earth to heaven. Oh God. Oh. But okay, let's just put it in perspective. Who are you in heavenly terms?
We are seated.
You're seated with him in heavenly places. You're a son, you're a daughter, you're accepted, you're loved, you have everything you need. He's given it to you. So from heaven's perspective, you're not a failure. You're chosen and called and positioned. Now you look from that position and go, oh, okay, earth, you're causing trouble in my life. But that's not the truth. I'm rooted in him. And you look from heaven's perspective down to your life. And then it gives, oh, I'm rooted, I'm grounded, I'm safe, I'm secure, I'm loved. Yes. Okay. And then you attack your problems. Yes. And you take them on with that truth because your perspective is set right. And I'll pray over that you this morning because there's that beatitude. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will see God.
Yes.
Meaning you will see Him work in and through your life. You will see the faithfulness of His hand through years and years and years. You will see God move in situations you thought, I don't know, Lord, are we going to get through this? And then 5 years later, you're like, yeah, we got through that. How did we get through that? Heaven's perspective. We've all got stories to tell of His faithfulness and His goodness to us.
Every day.
Amen. Let's stand together. Children, well done. You were very good this morning. Parents, only 2 weeks left. Don't worry. You can do it. Don't rush it. Yes, you will enjoy it. Okay, come. Let's just pray. Let's just wait on Him. Father, we acknowledge You this morning. We sang words of truth. We sang words of understanding of what Your cross and what the cross has done for us, Lord. We want to build our lives upon You, Almighty God, the solid rock on which we can stand. And I know, we know, it's whatever's going through your heart and life this morning. Just lay it before Him. Whatever trial, whatever difficulty, whatever challenge, He knows. He knows exactly what you're facing. David writes in Samuel, he says, Lord, but You reward the righteous. You reward the faithful. This is when he's being chased by Saul and Saul's trying to kill him. He was under pressure, but he said, no, Lord, you reward the righteous. You reward the faithful. And so, Father, we pray over our people this morning. We pray over every heart here, Lord, that we will know comfort. We will know closeness of Your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that in our own hearts and lives and our minds and in our lives, our physical lives, we will see reward. We will see You working on our behalf. We pray for financial breakthroughs for people, Lord. We pray for manifestations of healing in people's hearts and lives. We pray over those broken relationships that You would mend and heal. We pray over marriages this morning, Lord, that You would touch and You would hold couples in Your hands, Lord. The enemy wants to divide, but we speak life over every couple, that You stand strong in Your marriage. We pray for provision, Lord. We pray for jobs, doors opening. Because we rest in You, Almighty God. You are the solid rock and the foundation on which we build our lives. And so we rest in You. And I pray that over every heart here this morning, that You would know the comfort and the closeness. And this week even, in these next months, You would just see God's hand moving and working through your heart and life. And we pray, Lord, that as we go through the series, Lord, it builds depth into our hearts. Depth into our lives that we can truly stand. Because we can see where the world's going, Lord. We can see what's playing out. But when we rest upon You, and it speaks about Your kingdom being unshakable, unshakable in Hebrews, we're a part of that kingdom. And we can stand unshakable. So we rest secure in You. And we honor You, Lord Jesus. And we praise You today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Have a blessed day. Amen.